This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Subconscious bias refers to the underlying attitudes or stereotypes that affect our actions, understanding, and decisions in a way that we may not even recognize. Later this hour, we'll talk with a professor at Florida Southwestern State College in advance of her presentation on identifying and acknowledging subconscious biases as part of the school's critical thinking lecture series. But first, Governor Rick Scott was in Lee County this morning to get a firsthand look at the blue-green algae bloom in the Caloosahatchee River. WGCU's Rachel Iacovone was there and joins us now to tell us what she saw. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
As always, you're invited to join our conversation, too. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Rachel, where did this tour begin and where did it go?
Well, we actually started in a different location than the governor, probably for safety reasons. And so he actually started, maybe we're thinking in the River District, because we met up with him in the middle somewhere, and we were on a media boat. So we started in Cape Coral, and then we kind of came to meet around the Edison Bridge.
Oh, okay. So what was it like out there? I mean, did you notice a difference where you launched from in Cape Coral up to the bridge?
Oh, absolutely. Where we were in Cape Coral is right near that bridge. So we end up passing three different bridges. And in that area where you're not getting as much wake, you can see all the green. It is bright green. I kind of turned to someone and said, it kind of reminds me of Oz, you know, like the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah, like that's, Technicolor.
It was so bright. Yeah, it just didn't feel real. And there's kind of this shimmering quality to it because you're against that really dark water. So you have the bright green and then this kind of coffee-like dark brown water. So, and then that would kind of get kicked up by the motors when we were going. And so you wouldn't see as much, but then it was when we were still, you'd see the patches and they kind of just moved with the waves. So you could suddenly see the undercurrent that you weren't normally seeing. And so it was like it was alive under the water, it looked like. Yeah.
It's moving around, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that the governor saw that same kind of stuff that you guys saw?
Yeah, he talked about that. He said it was frustrating, were his words, which he used a lot for other things as well, kind of the federal response, how this continues to happen every year. Of course, those things are frustrating, but he said it's frustrating and it sounded more like in a human sense. He's from this area, so it's frustrating seeing the water in your backyard like this.
Yeah. So the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced last night that they're stopping the flows of water out of Lake Okeechobee. And now Governor Rick Scott has announced that he plans to declare a state of emergency on this trip.
Yes. So he said this toward the end when someone asked finally, so what does this mean? After you've seen the water, does this mean a state of emergency? And he said, the quote was actually yes in there somewhere, but he also mentioned that is one of many things coming out of today. So I'm not sure what to expect for the other things. They cut off our media questions at that point, but it seems like a state of emergency, but maybe some other plans he has after seeing the water.
Yeah, may or may not. It's not 100% official. We haven't gotten the email. We haven't gotten the official announcement of a state of emergency.
He says he definitely plans on a state of emergency. Yet to come is what else with it.
But what I'm not even sure that I know what a state of emergency could do to help the situation, because, I mean, it's kind of a putting the toothpaste back in the tube kind of situation.
Yeah, the release is done. Like you said, it ended at 7 a.m. this morning. So on June 30th, it had ended. If, for those who don't know, you know, Lake Okeechobee splits off. So the Caloosahatchee is on our side, but on the other side is St. Lucie River. And on June 30th, we cut off the releases there. And then for another week, we've been getting the releases here. And it's really been in the last week that we've been seeing those viral photos of that bright green water, the so-called guacamole green water, the drone videos even.
Yeah.
And it's gotten perhaps worse. And, you know, the governor kind of hinted at that, too, in some of his language was it's gotten worse since the releases have continued here and not in St. Lucie, which has still that same problem every year, too. We get algal blooms no matter what on what coast it is.
Yeah. When you see that the I mean, it takes a while to get here, you know, from Lake O. But there is there are people that waffle between, is it all because of Lake Okeechobee or is it all the other runoff that comes off all the way along the way down the river? But it seems pretty directly correlated once there's a release. A few weeks later, we see it down here.
Yeah. Actually, the secretary of the Florida Department of Environmental Protection was there too, Noah Valenstein, and he said something similar, that this is a naturally occurring process. However, it's definitely heightened by these releases. This might happen, but not to the point where you could get the drone videos that look like the water's been literally dyed
like
green.
Wizard of Oz green.
Yeah.
Right. So Rick Scott is the outgoing governor. He's campaigning in a bid for a Senate seat. And now this algae bloom is the third straight year that we've seen this kind of problem here. What did Scott have to say about the past 7.5 years of being governor and the issue not being resolved?
Like I said, that touches again with his use of the word frustrated. So he said he's very frustrated with the response on the federal level. And even more so now, he says, looking at the water up close for himself, this seems to be maybe the worst it's been in a few years for him. And so he said he does give a lot of credit, though, to the Trump administration, because this is the first time he said he felt that Washington hadn't maybe heard South Florida's needs. And that's because last week it got approved that the Herbert Hoover Dyke will be fixed. And it's, of course, like we've talked before on the show in many segments, we're not sure what that will mean. It will be fixed, of course, but to what degree, how much more water will that mean it could hold, if any?
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers changes its stance. It was quoted before as saying that if the Herbert Hoover Dyke is brought up to par, I mean, which we know it's an aging dike, but if it's A-OK, they're probably still not going to allow it to hold that much more water than it currently is allowed to hold. But that may change depending on what kind of repairs they're able to make and how they're able to upgrade the Herbert Hoover dike.
Absolutely. And I feel maybe it was approved because they want to hold more water. So we haven't seen much. It's only been a week since this has been approved. So we'll start to see more plans and maybe get an official response from them.
Either way, it's something that doesn't get fixed overnight, you know?
No, they're estimating 2020 right now, and that seems already very soon. So there might be extensions on that for sure.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Well, thanks, Rachel. We look forward to hearing your reporting this afternoon during All Things Considered.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So now we want to turn to our next guest, Port Charlotte resident Captain Chris O'Neill. He's the owner of Tail Chaser Charters. He's a fishing guide serving mostly around Charlotte Harbor and Boca Grande. Chris has more than 20 years of experience guiding anglers. So Chris got our attention via Facebook. He recently began posting photos of massive fish kills caused by red tide, including huge Goliath grouper and snook, as well as other marine life like sea turtles and a manatee. He's become a vocal advocate on social media for finding a solution to our region's water issues like red tide and blue-green algae blooms in Lake Okeechobee and the Caloosahatchee River. Several of his videos have gone viral, and he recently started a Facebook group called Save Our Gulf Information Exchange, which has gained more than 1,000 followers in less than a week. He joins us by phone. Chris, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Have you experienced the effects of red tide firsthand? If so, we'd like to get your stories. The number to give us a call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So for starters, Chris, tell me about yourself and your background.
I retired from the Army after a 20-year career in 2005 and moved to Florida and started a retail store, outdoor retail store, big captain guide business, and franchised the Coastal Angler magazine and a syndicated radio show and a couple other little things. And fast forward to June 20th, 2018, and I saw the firsthand case of probably half of the local Southwest Florida snook population perishing. While I was out on a charter, I'm a fishing charter captain, and that kind of started it lit my fire, if you will, and got me into this thing. I started shooting some videos and using my big mouth to hopefully make an impression, and I think we have made an impression in these last going almost a month now.
I love that description, lit my fire. So I want to ask you, I mean, you just heard what we talked about with Governor Rick Scott's visit. He came down, but he was mainly looking at the blue-green algae situation. What do you think about this visit and his announcement that he may be declaring a state of emergency for Lee and Lee County?
If you look at my Facebook page, Chris O'Neill, on June 21st, the day I saw that, I said the first thing I said is we need to declare a state of emergency in Florida. This is one of the largest man-made and natural eco disasters I've ever witnessed or even heard about. And like you said in your earlier segment, this is a combination of something that already exists in the Gulf and what we're adding to it. I always use the analogy is you've got a small smoldering flame and you throw a gallon of gas on it, and what happens? It blows up. That's what's in our trace right now here in Southwest Florida.
Have you ever seen it as bad as it is right now? I mean, do you think this year is the worst so far?
There's no question about it. And I've talked to guys that have lived here their whole life, particularly on the water. I don't necessarily get a lot of information from people. I call them fly-by-nighters. They're in an office all day in air conditioning. They're armchair quarterback in this situation. I'm talking to the people that actually earn their living or spend their days on the water more than a couple days a week. And by far, this is the most colossal ecological disaster we've seen here, certainly in the last century, for sure. When you see, you know, large animals on, I counted 2 weeks ago, 42 Goliath grouper on the beaches of Boca Grande. Manatees, the viral video that went, it's up to 5 million views now. When I saw that manatee laying on the beach, I had my guy pull over. I said, let's film this because this is going to touch the average citizen somewhere in the rest of the country that doesn't care anything about fish or stuff laying on the beach. But when they see turtles, they see manatees, they see large animals laying on the beach, that's an attention getter, and that's what's turned the whole tide on this thing where, literally 4 weeks ago, when it came to political talk and things about this, it was crickets. Now it's at the top of everybody's news ticker, and it's on every politician's plate. And it's because of people like you and all of us have got on here and said enough's enough, put videos out there, and just put your foot down and said, that's it, we're done. It's an election year. It's time to capitalize on this momentum and put some legislation in place to actually get it fixed. And to answer your question, I think Governor Scott was spot on today. Now that we have President Trump on board, and if anybody can build a daggone structure, it's Trump, and he's going to send the money down here and get this thing done. And all the people locally that are in bed with the allegedly in bed with the big sugar and this and that, you know, that's all alleged, but it's beyond that now. And hopefully we can get federal dollars in here and federal mindset, get this thing done sooner than, say, 2020, because it's immediate. We need to fix something now.
You mentioned at the beginning you were talking about larger animals. For our listeners who might not know much about the Goliath grouper, tell me about this fish.
The Goliath grouper is a species that's been endangered since 1988. I particularly have been part of a team with the Florida Wildlife Commission where we've been part of a tagging and research program where I personally have tagged over 500 of those fish in the last 10 years. It's something I hold near and dear to my heart as far as understanding, preserving that species. The fish that we witnessed on the beach were anywhere from 100 to 400 pounds. These are at a minimum 10-year-old fish up to 30-year-old fish. These fish will not recover in days or weeks or, you know, when the water clears, as people say around here. It's going to take decades for this thing to recover. We're not even talking about the week before when we lost half of our snook population, which is one of the primary game fish in Florida, which we saw almost every breeder fish in my locality, Charlotte Harbor, perish in a matter of 2 days, and I have it on film.
Yeah, I know. Logging this on video and posting it on Facebook seems to have really gotten quite a bit of attention. We have a call coming in from John in Port Charlotte. John, what would you like to add to the conversation? I think we might have lost John. You there, John? Oh, I hear John.
Oh, yeah, this is John.
Yeah, John, I'm going to ask you to give us a call back because I really can't hear you. You're very much cutting out there.
I'm sorry. Can you get me now?
Oh, there you are.
There we go. Yeah, we vacationed up in Minnesota Key this weekend. We're from Port Charlotte, but we're walking along the beach up there, and they told us that some of the thunderstorms had taken the dead fish away, but the beach is covered with maggots from end to end. It's very unappealing for people that are visiting in the area. I can just imagine what this is doing to our local tourism overall.
All right. Thank you so much, John, for calling and sharing your point of view on that. And Chris O'Neill, we're talking with today for just joining the show. He's telling us about he's a Port Charlotte-based fishing guide. He's become an advocate via social media for finding ways to fix broken water systems, which cause algae blooms and help to fuel red tide outbreaks. If you want to join our conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Now, Chris, I know that you've asked other people to share videos. What kind of things have you seen popping up?
Oh, anything. In fact, when I was on hold listening to your conversation, I just got a nice message to my Save Our Gulf Information Exchange page from a gentleman that's in New York that grew up in South Florida, and he sent me pictures of a dolphin that died on those same beaches last year that John was just talking about on the phone. And there's been so much information flow, and I started that page simply to create an unfiltered information base for people to go, because what we've seen lately, and I've had countless calls, and by the way, I don't do this for a living. I don't do water mitigation or anything like this. I'm just trying to help as a citizen and as a fishing captain out here on the waters. So, frankly, I can't wait till the day where that page says, hey, everything's clear. We got the green light. We got everything fixed. And let's go to the beaches and take your kids there safely. I'm at Sunsplash Park today in Cape Coral, an hour away from my house, because I have visitors, young kids, that I can't take to our beaches because of the amount of bacteria in the water. It's still a state of emergency through today, at least. So we're at Cape Coral in a freshwater environment down here in a park. So that just gives you an example of the enormity of what's going on here.
Yeah, it's interesting. You don't seem like the kind of person, from talking with you, that thinks chlorine is necessarily your friend. You're more of a freshwater kind of guy. And it was interesting. My producer told me, he said, you know, the person you're interviewing, he's not a politician. He's not a big-time, you know, environmentalist guy that's made a career out of doing this kind of thing. He said, this is a real-life person whose life has been truly impacted by this. And I wanted to ask you, I know that you have been, you owned Coastal Angler magazine, and you've been a nationally published outdoor writer for decades, but had you ever experienced anything the way that social media has really made things, you know, go ablaze?
Absolutely not. What venue in the world can you go for free and post two videos and have 5 million views and such impact in 1 week? It just doesn't exist. So that gives a guy like me here at the bottom a voice to say, let's bring everybody together, because I say this every day when I talk to groups. I can't do this by myself, nor do I want to. I need you, everybody here to say no, enough's enough, and point your fingers toward whoever your local politician is. Say, get off your butt and do something, because now is the time to get those guys and gals, because we have leverage. It's an election year. It's important. And now we have everybody's attention. Turn on your news and see, because everybody's scrambling around trying to get answers. So we need to capitalize on this thing while the iron is hot, because, you know, if everything goes away, it'll be back to business as usual. The elections will come and go, and then next year we're going to be right back to this, and even worse. And I, for one, as a fishing captain who hasn't worked for 3 weeks because I won't take people out there and subject them to those unsafe conditions, I absolutely refuse to let this go on and on without at least my voice being heard.
You're also the founder of Hooked on Kids Foundation, which helps fatherless teens. Tell me a little bit about that and about how the current state of our waters can impact efforts like this.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question. I was a fatherless teen growing up, and as I got older and came down to Florida, I saw a need for – I ran into a lot of people when I'm at events and stuff, little folks, and we do an annual show here called Majesty Outdoors, where we take a fatherless teen out, and they get an actual state scholarship for anywhere in the country. And that kind of fostered into about 3 years ago, where I started a foundation called Hooked on Kids, and we do benefits and things to help raise money for children, some of the local orphanages, and some of the kids that need individual help. And it's been rewarding for me, and hopefully rewarding for a lot of those kids as well.
Yeah, but when you have water like this, it kind of puts, you know, taking kids out on the water on hold, like you mentioned. You're sitting there at a water park.
Absolutely. I have nephews that came from Indiana to go fishing and hang out with their uncle, and we're at a water park going on slides. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. Fun, but we should be on the ocean right now catching big fish.
Oh, we're kind of getting into, like, this is a kind of a political, philosophical question here, but do you think this is one of the very few issues that we have before us right now that is truly a bipartisan one?
I agree, because it impacts everybody, no matter your political affiliation. And we're at a crossroad right now. We are absolutely at a crossroad, because if we don't do something, this isn't something, if we do something today, it's going to be fixed tomorrow. This won't be fixed for a decade. But we need to get moving on this process, because we keep adding to the problem. And before we even identify the solution, I heard your earlier segment, we haven't even identified the solution. We know some parts. There's a no-brainer with the Caloosahatchee Lake Go Dump. That's a no-brainer. I call that a coincidental situation, you know, it's not a coincidence. It's a consequence when they dump that river, because a week after that river gets dumped in big numbers like it did a couple months ago, 2 billion gallons plus a day, I can count to the day a week later when I start seeing dead stuff on our beaches around Fort Myers and north of there. So there's no question about that from somebody that's out on the water, because we see it. It's not speculation. It's fact. I can show someone every single time that happens. It's not even debatable. Now you've got stuff that's so thick, green floods coming down there. We've got the governor down there, which is an absolutely fantastic thing. And that's what's going to take to change it. And us as citizens to stand up and write letters and call and just get in their face and say, look, this is our Florida. This is why most of us came here. I'm not a Floridian. I'm a Hoosier from Indiana. I came here to enjoy the outdoors and our ocean. I can't go to the ocean right now because it's a toxic swamp. I don't want it like that, and I don't want it for any of your listeners either. So we all need to get together and do something about it.
So I wanted to ask you, you mentioned in passing earlier, how is your charter service doing right now? You're off the water?
It's horrible. I've canceled every fishing trip for 3 weeks because I refuse to subject people. And right now we have a lot of tourists in town with smaller children, and those are the ones that are impacted. I can tell you there's been two dogs perish on Little Gasparilla Island right here at the Placida Harbor in the last 2 weeks from kidney failure. Well, guess what? I got started doing some research on that, and there's records, years and years and years. Whenever you have a red tide outbreak, you have dogs die. I don't hear about that on the news. I didn't know about it until I started digging into it. So that's something that if you have dogs dying, if you have large animals dying on the beach, if you have maggots on the beach, if you have turtles, you have everything else dying, why in the world would you want to take your kids into that mess? It's simply because you look out and say, oh, it's clear. Meanwhile, NOAA just published a report on Friday, an emergency stay out of the water report until at least the end of today, that says the bacteria levels are so high, it's unsafe. So think about that for a minute. That's serious business. And what's happened is the tourism dollars are driving that message. It's year after year, drove it down into the ground. And I call it, I coined the phrase, I should have patented and copyrighted it. This has been Florida's dirty little secret for far too long, and now it's not a secret anymore.
Yeah. I want to ask you now, what's next for your mission? I understand you got a rally planned for this weekend at Lashley Park?
No, I don't have a rally. There's some other folks that are going to do that. I was just invited to go there and speak. We don't have a rally. I'm not the face of this thing. Except some people think that, but I'm really not. I'm just a voice. And I'm asking everybody to come together and contribute information and be a part of it, because none of us individually can solve this thing. It's got to be everybody gets on board and puts the pressure to make the necessary change to get it done.
So you're going to be speaking at this particular rally?
Possibly. I plan on riding my Harley that day, but I may be down talking about the red tide and algae.
Just ride your Harley into it.
Absolutely.
Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with us before I let you go?
No, I appreciate the invite. I enjoyed listening to your channel there. It's a great venue for information, and that's what it's all about. You know, small radio is fantastic, and I love it. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much. Chris O'Neill, he's the owner of Tail Chasers Charters, a Port Charlotte-based fishing guide service. He's also the man behind the Save Our Gulf Information Exchange page on Facebook, so you can check things out firsthand. Thanks, Chris, for sharing your story with us today. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we're sitting down with the professor who will be kicking off Florida Southwestern State College's Critical Thinking Lecture Series tomorrow with a presentation on identifying and acknowledging subconscious biases. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.